Reality Church, how does that fare in a world filled with cameras and reality TV? This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, celebrating life and looking at life through the most ancient of all Christian fabrics, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. This happens to be the 575th episode of The Next Step, in other words, the last of our 11th year of podcasting. And we're inviting you to take this step with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. Here, Father Voskin provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
So a guy goes into a church and he forgets to turn off his phone. Has that happened to you? If not church, how about a place where phones, well, wouldn't be appreciated? How about at a show, at a concert? How about in a restaurant? Phone goes off. Used to happen a little bit more than it does today. But guess what? The point of this story is not about a phone in church. It's about something deeper. So listen up. A man went into a church and he forgets to turn off his phone. And there in the church, during prayer, the phone starts ringing. Definitely accidentally, right? Everybody turns it off. Nobody assumes that, you know, other people want to hear their phone go off. But at the most solemn moment during the prayer time, phone goes off. It starts ringing. The pastor scolds him. Yeah, from the pulpit, makes a point of saying that, you know what, it was rude of you that phone went off during prayer. We have to keep away from these technological gizmos that keep us away from God. He certainly made a point there, right? So the pastor scolds him. The worshipers admonish him, you know, after the prayers, that this guy, hey, you interrupted the service. All the way home, his wife lectured him on his carelessness. How could you be so careless, leaving your phone on in church and it went off? And one could see the shame, the embarrassment, and the humiliation on this man's face. His phone went off in church. After all this, he never stepped foot in that church again. And that same evening, he went to a bar. He was still nervous and he was trembling. He spilled his drink on the table by accident. The waiter apologized and gave him a napkin to clean himself. The janitor mopped the floor. The female manager offered him a complimentary drink. She also gave him a huge hug and a peck while saying, hey, don't worry. Who doesn't make mistakes? He has not stopped going to this bar ever since. Make a point? Of course. You don't need lightning to strike you to figure this one out, right? One place he'll never step foot again, and one place he'll never stop going to, right? Why? It's basic. It's a no-brainer. One place he feels comfortable. Okay, now, think about it for a moment. We talk a lot about theology. We talk about studying the Gospels, the traditions, the words of Jesus, his teachings. We talk about a lot of theoretical ideas. What's the bottom line for many people? Well, it's the same bottom line as coming into church in the first place. We talk about, and certainly at the beginning of our show, we always talk about the neophytes, people who are searching. But in reality, we know that, you know, that search many people go through, but few of them really push those limits. We always hear about people who have changed, who have seen the light, who have come to have realized something different. But in reality, it's where you feel comfortable. And certainly, some of these outlandish ideas among some of the cultic religions proves that. You say, how could it possibly be that someone would believe in this or that? You know, well, it might not be a question of belief. It might be a question of that comfort level. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Reality Church. Yeah. Because we can talk about the theology, we can talk about mysticism, we can talk about the fathers of the church, we could talk about the tradition of nunneries, of monasteries, we could talk about scripture, we could talk about the study of scripture. But the bottom line is, hey, did you get scolded out of that church? Do you feel like a nothing when you walk into that church? Do you feel like stupid when you walk in the church? Why would you want to go back in there? Think about it. Think about it. It's almost like blaming the victim, right? We've heard a lot about that too. We've seen pastors who will get up and scold the people. You don't come to church. Well, wait a minute. Who are you talking to? The people who have come to church, right? Big mistake. Oh, it's horrible. Look at the church attendance. There's nobody here. You have to make church an important part of your life. And it can't be from Easter to Easter, Christmas to Christmas. Every Sunday you need to be in church. Well, wait a minute. And who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? The people who are there. Well, it's a blaming the victim kind of mentality. It's like, why don't people come to church? Well, people are lazy. They don't want to learn. They don't want to take the time to learn what we have to offer. Well, yeah. Seriously, think about it for a moment. And especially those of you who are in literally foreign language circumstances, of which the Armenian Church is. I always make the case, you know, when you walk into an Armenian church, it's not only that you're listening to Armenian, you're listening to classical Armenian, and there isn't anybody. You cannot find me one person who can walk into church and understand the words. Listen to what I said, who will understand the words. They'll get concepts, they'll get ideas, but to understand fluently without a book, what? Reality Church. Reality Church. Think about it for a moment. You watch reality TV. We're going to talk about that in a couple moments, okay? Stay with me. We're going to talk about reality TV. And we're going to get into some cops episodes too. But Reality Church. Look, last Sunday, I celebrated the Divine Liturgy at St. Leon Armenian Cathedral, Burbank. Beautiful cathedral. I was honored to, any time I've been asked to celebrate, it's completely an honor to me. I serve there and I celebrate the Divine Liturgy truly in trembling. It's just a beautiful, the way the deacons and the choir, the interaction, it's just beautiful. It's overwhelming, as rightly I believe a cathedral should be, you know. So a friend of mine asked me if he could attend. He could come to the liturgy, and named Johnny, ethnically Latino. Religiously, his denomination, Seventh-day Adventist. Now, the Seventh-day Adventist, they celebrate, they have their services on the Sabbath, on Saturday. Therefore, the Sunday is available. And I said, certainly come. Now, here's a guy. Doesn't speak Armenian. I mean, not even conversational Armenian. Certainly doesn't understand classical Armenian. And I got to tell you, here's a man who sat through the Divine Liturgy and completely absorbed everything. And if you were to ask him, which I did you understand? Yes, emphatically. Emphatically will say yes. Why? Because he wasn't trying to pick it apart by words. Rather, to experience the entire service, its entirety. He sat next to Susan, and Susan's sharing with him the book. And he's going through, and he's singing in the Armenian. Singing the Armenian through the transliteration. Now, here's somebody who's completely absorbed into it and understands, and in religion for him, the faith is really what he makes of it. I cannot stand as judge. I know people will say, well, he didn't understand. You know what? That's not my call. Reality church. What is the reality of our church today? Do you know that this episode of The Next Step happens to be the last one during our 10th year? Next Thursday, we kick off our 12th year of broadcasting. It'll be our 11th anniversary. And we started 11 years ago. Can you believe that? 11 years ago. And I thought that between today, talking about reality church, and next week I'm going to talk about a real Jesus. I'm putting that together. I shared a few ideas about that a few weeks ago, and I said I wanted to do it. Things have come up, and I know you've enjoyed all this programming we've put together, from randomness to Dish Divi. So it's been on hold, and it really worked out beautifully because it serves as a dash between the 11th and 12th year. It serves as a very special marker. These two episodes, today and next week. Reality Church. What is the reality? What is Reality Church? Well, here is somebody who comes into our church and he understands without understanding word. There are others who come and even though they understand, will just look blank-faced, staring at the walls. And still others will understand or may not understand and will find solace somewhere else. Tell me, I want to hear the Bible being preached. Okay. And yet others, you know, hey, I want to hear some good music. I want to hear something with a beat that gets my heart pumping, that gets my soul stirring. Okay. Reality Church. You can't sit and blame victims. You can't say that, okay, you're not coming to church. You're the victim of my problem. It's not a victim. You're not a victim. You just happen not to want to come to church. And there has to be somebody to blame, right? We think this. No, that doesn't need to be. Church doesn't answer everybody's needs. You see, there's the fallacy there. We want to blame people for not coming to church because the church isn't full. We want to blame the preacher for not speaking good. We want to blame the choir for not singing good. That's why people, wait, back up, put on the brakes, hold it for a moment. Let's talk about the reality. Is it possible that not everybody needs church? That's a discussion. It's a bigger discussion that needs to be had. And I bring this up in reality because think about this for a moment. What is the longest running TV show? Do you have any idea what it is? Simpsons, 30 year. They're in their 30th year of production. Can you believe that, Simpsons? No, but there's a show that's even longer. You ready? Bad boys, what Cops. You want, what you gonna do? Yep, Cops. Started in 1987. And yeah, I know you're thinking like, whoa, is that show still around? Yes, it is. It's playing somewhere. They still film it. And it's gotten a lot of controversy lately because people want to know, hey, okay, what's it all about? There is an excellent, excellent podcast and I'll have a link on today's show notes to it. Please do check it out. I think it's like five or six in the series of it. It's about running from cops, looking at that clock. cops and understanding it. Anyway, let's put that to the side for right now. But it did give me the reason to make this this show today as one of the dashes between our 11th and 12th year. I want you to think about in these terms, okay? What is the reality of church? When we talk about, first of all, you all know what I'm talking about in cops. If you don't, really quickly, I mean, we have had police shows, police dramas have been a staple on television since television's inception. In fact, as a kid, one of my favorite shows was Highway Patrol. Cop drama! And filmed right here in the streets of Hollywood. I mean, you could see little places. If you watch close enough, you could see Griffith Park. You could see so many of Hollywood landmarks in that show. Anyway, go forward a little bit. There was a show called Dragnet. Yes. Thank you, Ken. This really is Dragnet. And, you know, there's a whole line of these kind of police dramas that we have. So Hawaii Five-0. Yes, very, very. Right, with Kono and Streets of San Francisco. One of my favorites was Beretta. Later on, they tried to revive Highway Patrol with called Chips. And anyway, the list goes on and on. Cagney and Lacey, Miami Vice, Kojak, there was another. But all of these were scripted shows. Scripted. Cops was and is supposedly, quote unquote, what we're finding out, it's more scripted. It's more edited than we ever thought it was. But we want to believe that the reality of it is, here's a guy with a camera following a police unit, responding to disasters, responding to calls. There is a robbery in progress. There is somebody, with possession of cocaine standing someplace. There's somebody who is about to give bodily assault, is about to beat his wife, and the cops run out there. And you see it firsthand. You are with them. They have a cameraman that's right inside the unit responding to these tragedies. Reality TV, we call it. And this reality TV was way before anything like the Kardashians. It was way before what we have now. It's an entire genre, right? Naked and Alone, is that what it's called? You get two people, you take their clothes off, and you throw them on an island. What? Yeah. And there's a camera and a camera crew that's there with them, too. But these two people are the stars of the show. Reality TV, we call it. Well, there was like Lost. That was very, very popular. It was on the networks, right? A group of people put on an island. Our president here in the United States. He got his claim to fame publicly through a reality show called The Apprentice. Yeah, there you go. And there's a whole genre of this reality TV. Now, reality church. How do we connect those dots? That's what's important. Well, I gave you that story at the beginning. What was it? What is the reality? Where is the reality? Why are people attending church? Why don't they attend church? Is it just possible that we're missing something? In all of the things that we talk about, spiritual, we talk about the Bible, the scriptural component to it. We talk about the preaching, the teaching of the church. At the end of the day, is it just someplace where people can feel comfortable? And perhaps in that comfort level, we can start understanding that it's not about filling up pews. It's not about getting hundreds of people to respond. It's about doing what the church is empowered to do. Empowered to do is an important term. Because when you believe that the church is empowered to do it, you understand that your participation in the church is vital for implementing that mission that with which you are empowered. In other words, you are part and parcel of that church. And without you, that church doesn't become complete. Now, you have to feel comfortable with that, right? And there's the reality of it. So much of our church is about theory and not enough about reality. What is that common man thinking? And that's why this cops show, it's a very interesting one. Gives you an idea of what? Well, no, it's not about what police go through, but what the producers, what the producers are asking us to see as part of police work. And there's where you got to be a little careful, okay? I hope I'm not confusing you because I'm going to go into this. I'm going to take a break right now, okay? Think about the reality TV shows in your life. All the different ones, okay? We listened to a song of the day, which is my reality. I have some beautiful music that really puts me in different places in life. I want to share with you one coming off of the two piano guys. This one is called Epiphany, which is a revelation of sorts, okay? Enjoy. Thank you. Epiphany off of the Limitless album, The Piano Guys. Did you like that? That's a very special one. It kind of like puts you in a different mood, a mellow mood. And I thought it was necessary because we're going to go into some unmellowed, uncharted areas. Piano Guys, Limitless is that album. I'll have a link on today's show notes so you can check out all of their wonderful music.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
Indeed, no reason to get excited. Who wrote that? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's beautiful. All Along the Watchtower. Jimi Hendrix. Do you know who wrote that song? The lyrics? The melody, too. Bob Dylan. Yeah. That's a Bob Dylan song. Jimi Hendrix. And from what I know, I think Bob Dylan has said that the best rendition of it is done by Jimi Hendrix. I learned that some years back. I heard a live version. I can't remember if it was in Monterey. There was a recording, live version of Jimi Hendrix doing that, and he does a shout out to Bob Dylan, and that's the connection there. Anyway, no reason to get excited. We are talking about Reality Church. Along the lines of reality TV, we know about The Cops, very popular. It's so popular, it's one of the longest running series on American television. It's a reality about taking a camera and just taking it along for a ride. There's no additions. There's no build up on it. There's nobody building extra layers on it. You don't need a narrator. You don't need dramatic music to make the point. No, it's just there. Or so you want, so they want us to believe. It's there. It is unfiltered, raw data, raw footage. There it is. Cops. Okay, now what about our church? What about our church? What's the raw data, the raw footage? We see so much, and we like to compare, don't we? We see these big theaters and big arenas filled, and we say, why? Where are the people? And then we start picking on people, right? We sometimes blame the victim. People are lazy. They don't wake up on Sunday morning. We sometimes blame the clergy. They're not doing their job properly. They're not taking it seriously. Where are they? Okay. Reality. What's the reality? What if you were to take a camera with you into a church setting? What if you were to do a Cops, but in church? Bring it along. Bring a camera along for the ride to see what people go through, to see how inviting it is, to see what's going on. And here's the one that hurts, and to realize that maybe not everybody needs a cop, not everyone needs a church. It's difficult because in times of need, in times of crisis, the first place people attend and come to is the church. As the old adage goes, there are no atheists in foxholes. We may not understand that today because the concept of a foxhole, but it's basically this little small little area from which you have your own weapon, your gun, and you are shooting while people are trying to take out your life. And when your life is a thin thread away from being lost, yes, you do reach out. You do pray. There are no atheists in foxholes. And so that's the hard part. We say, well, why should it be at the end of life? Why should it be during crisis? There's a insurance agent down the street from us in Glendale. He's got a sign on his wall. It says, when you think of me, don't think of insurance. But when you think of insurance, think of me. Nice, huh? When you think of me, you're looking at me, don't think of insurance. But when you need insurance, when you think of insurance, think of me. And I think about that sentence all the time. When do I get calls? When people are in dire need, when people are about to die. And I thought to myself, when you think of me, don't think of dying. But when you think of dying, go ahead, think of me. Is that all right to say? It's kind of weird, but that's what it comes down to. And so because it is at the end of life, because it is under the most stressful conditions, we say, well, why shouldn't it be a relationship that goes on throughout life? Reality, church. Where is that reality? What if you were to put a camera and a microphone on people as they ventured through the church? What would be the different things that they would see? And what I want to propose to you, it's not about the people that they meet. It's not about the priest being good, bad. It's not about the people in the pews. It's about not necessary at the moment. The church is not necessary in people's life. If it was necessary, people would be part of it. But it's basically not a necessity. And so reality, church. Who's asking the questions? Who's answering the questions? And what is really out there? Think about it in those terms, right? And of course, when I say church is not necessary, for the individual, that individual looking at himself within the scheme of things says, I don't need church. Yet as a priest, I realize how important that church is for people. I understand the place of church, but in a sense, that is me imposing my values on someone else. And in a pluralistic society, in the way things are going, we look at a world and you say, you can't do that. You can't impose your values. And so we are at a stalemate all of a sudden. Reality, church. What are the questions that we need to ask? Perhaps it's not the question of why aren't there people in church, nor is it the question of why aren't the clergy doing their work, but rather, with the room that we do have, what are we doing? What are we doing with the people that we do have? What are we doing with the resources that we do have today? Are we using them? Are we exploiting them? Are we truly, truly taking advantage of all that God has given us? Now that is a discussion for us, right? In our Bible study class lately, we've been talking about why do bad things happen to good people? And that is a question. It's an old question. But you realize that that question only makes sense when you understand that there is a God. A good God. If there was no God, if there's no God, this question doesn't even exist. What do you mean, why do bad things happen to good people? What's the definition of good? What's the definition of bad? Well, they all find their answer in the system. In the religious system, in the ethical, the moral laws and regulations that have been set up by the system. I've shared with you many times, you know, some of what is the absolutes. Are there certain absolutes? For me, rape is an absolute, right? Murder is not. We justify killing in terms of war, in terms of self-protection. We have a whole slew of reasons why people can lie. Especially me as an Armenian who knows that during the genocide, people had to lie to protect Armenians who were hiding. Are there Armenians in this room? No, there aren't. Even though they knew that in the basement or hiding, there were some Armenians. Is it okay to lie? Of course it's okay to lie. Yes, that is not an absolute. To me, I've thought many times, what are absolutes? Is there any true absolute? Well, rape. There is never a time when rape, imposing your will on somebody else, is acceptable, can be justified. Never, never. There are very few things that are truly absolute. For me, that's one of them. And religion, when it comes to us, we understand that people are free to understand and accept it in any way they want. How many times have I taught, personally taught, about the importance of self-determination, about the fight for justice? And next week, I hope you're going to tune in next week. There's a very, very special episode I'm going to do about Jesus. Who is Jesus for me? It's going to be an up-close and personal account. Who is Jesus for me? But for many people, these are not questions. No, religion, church has to be a comfortable place. It has to be a place where I like the music, where I like the pastor's attitude. I like it when he makes a joke here and there. It's true. I've heard so many, I like that pastor because he always makes me laugh. Well, okay. Can I fight it? Martin Luther King did. He says, if you want to be entertained, you know, get a monkey. Put a monkey up in the pulpit. He was critical of it, yeah. And I don't know if he had the chance to live longer and seeing more and more, if he would have come to a place, because I too was very critical. But I've gotten to a point where I understand that, you know, if there is a reality church, if we took this camera aboard like they did on Cops and see what's involved in the church, you would see people have shied away because of small little things, such as being scolded, being looked down upon. They have entered in church because they have belonging. We see this in many of the groups, whether it's a ladies' society, a youth group. We give out awards so that people feel good and they feel part of it. And, you know, there's a case to be made about these things. There's absolutely a case to be made about it. And so when a purist comes along and says, hey, this is what the faith is, and you realize that you've gone away from that faith, it's very difficult to make an argument against the purist. Because, you know, on all accounts, they're right there. But the purist doesn't fill up the church. And so I want to leave you with this idea today. It's not about filling up churches. No, no, no. I'm not, that's not a rationalization. It's a truth. It really isn't about filling up the churches. No, no, no. I am not rationalizing. Look, I don't need to. I do fill up churches. In our ministry, I mean, whether it's been in Pasadena, whether it was in Cupertino, I remember in Pasadena we knocked down the church and we ended up doing services in the hall, which was filled up every Sunday. And no, not just Easter. I remember in Glendale, you know, it was packed. No, I'm not. This is not a rationalization. I'm not. Just trying to make up an excuse. I'm telling you the truth. It's not about filling up churches, nor is it about quality. I really believe full or half full or a few people, we do have quality people. Because that person who comes with his soul empty and ready to serve God is a quality person. That's the kind of person that you want, and that's what our churches are full of. We do have those quality people. But the real question is not about, why aren't our churches full? It's what are we doing with the resources, with that space that we do have? Now, one of the big projects that we're involved in issues is called Family Promise of the Verdugos. And this is a fantastic opportunity for churches. We partner with another church in the area. And this group, what they've done is that they've put together two churches. One church which provides meals, a church that doesn't have the space. In this case, our Inner Shoes ministry, we don't have the space of a church. We partner with the church that does have space. One church offers room. The other church offers the food. Room and board, free. There it is. What are we doing with the space that we do have? Give it to the poor. Room and board for the homeless. And we've been involved in this now for the last several years. Family Promise of the Verdugos. What are we doing with the space? Are you inviting people? Are you sharing your goodness with others vis-a-vis that space that you do have? And what is the message that you're getting out? I want to share with you this small little thing that I found the other day. You know, I'm not a big fan of coincidences. I don't believe in coincidences. And so when this thing came, it was actually in my WhatsApp app from April, 2 months ago. It was unnoticed until just about a week ago. I found it. A friend had sent this to me on Charlie Chaplin's birthday. And I want to share it with you because something interesting happened with this. Charlie Chaplin's three heart-touching statements. You ready? Nothing is permanent in this world, not even our troubles. Number two, I like walking in the rain because nobody can see my tears. Number three, the most wasted day in life is the day in which we have not laughed. And you know, the coincidence part was that I really needed to hear that. On that day, I really needed to hear this message. And I shared it with our Bible study. I shared it with our prayer group. It was so important. It was a longer text. There was some other fun stuff in there too. But as in essence, it was these three Charlie Chaplin statements. And I shared it. And as we were talking during Bible study, I pointed out that, hey, look how these three statements follow a pattern. They follow the pattern of our home blessing. In the Armenian church, when you have your home blessed, there are three elements that we have: water, bread, and salt. The priest comes into your home and blesses the bread, the water, and the salt. The bread for your physical needs, the water for your spiritual needs, and the salt for flavor in your life. Charlie Chaplin's three statements. Nothing is permanent in this world, not even our troubles. The bread, the physical needs. I like walking in the rain because nobody can see my tears. The water, our spiritual needs, our emotions, the tears. Number three. The most wasted day in life is the day in which we have not laughed. The salt, flavor, laughter, emotions. These three statements of Charlie Chaplin coincide exactly with the elements in the home blessing. And somebody in the Bible study just looked at me, actually a couple people just like looked at me and said, only you would think of that. Well, yeah. Isn't that perhaps what the priest should be doing? At least for me, it is. It's connecting the dots. We're all connected. The words of Charlie Chaplin are connected to what we believe. You and I are connected to each other. We're connected to the universe. We're connected to the world. We're connected in this invisible strength we call our faith. And what we have now is basically the language of faith. In other words, we speak different languages, But we are talking about the same thing, our interaction, the reality of our lives today. And it happens to be the week of Pentecost, the day in which the apostles received the power, received empowerment to take the message of Christ to the four corners of the world. They did this how? Scripture tells us they learned languages. They spoke in tongues, not inaudible, nonsensical sounds, but rather languages which were understood by different people in different lands. Isn't that what the priest does? Lets you understand? So that a Latino Seventh-day Adventist who comes to the Armenian Orthodox liturgy understands. So that we who laugh at Charlie Chaplin's antics understand that there is a home blessing in there. So that we understand that faith is not something you wind up on Sundays, but something that you live every single day of your life. We are ending today the 11th year of our podcast. We started this in 2008. 2019 now, excuse me. We are finishing 11 years of podcasting. We'll be celebrating our 11th anniversary next week. And with that, I'm going to continue this same trend. Yeah, it's not the usual fare. And I hope you're appreciating it because we're opening up. I'm going to tell you about the Jesus, who Jesus is in my life and what that Jesus means. And interestingly enough, it has to do with a very special picture that was given to me in high school. That's what I'm going to share with you next week. But for right now, there's another person who puts it all together, the piano player. He's playing, and Susie making this announcement.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vasquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you to our dear listeners for your prayers, your support, for your words of hope, words of encouragement. Let me take this opportunity. This happens to be Father's Day weekend here in the States. We commemorate, we celebrate fatherhood. And I always like to remember also mothers who are in the role of father. And therefore, we remember parenthood. We remember parents. Want to congratulate all of the fathers in our midst, especially the clergy. Our clergy listeners, thank you very much for your words of encouragement, and may God bless you and may God strengthen you in your ministry, in the work that you do, in your reach out to so many people who listen and look forward to your words of encouragement in true fatherly fashion. We are at the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. This happens to be the end of our 11th year of podcasting. And next week, we will celebrate our 11th anniversary. So we've been doing this every week consistently since June 18th, 2008. And so next week, we will kick off our 12th year of podcasting. We look forward to having you with us. I'm going to do something a little special. I have a very unique picture. Unique picture because it was drawn by a friend in high school. A friend which I don't know. I don't know whatever happened to her. She gave this to me, nor do I know the circumstances under which she gave it to me. All I remember is that she handed it to me, and it was just something I treasured at the time, and I treasure until today. It's in my office. It's around me. It's a picture of Jesus. It's a hand-drawn pen art of Jesus. I want to share with you what that means to me, and it'll be the kickoff to our 12th year of podcasting, The Next Step. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for being there, for listening, for sharing your lives, sharing your emotions, sharing your laughters, your cries with me. I want to thank you for making this podcast a possibility. It is cathartic beyond belief, but I know that it is also an important tool in our ministry. So I thank you very much for being my audience, for being with me, and all of you who pray for the success of this ministry. Thank you. God bless you and keep your strength up. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, I intend to take a moment to acknowledge also this great music happens to be written by and performed by Rada Jean-Wolf Sassenia. You hear it every week, my son. And the wonderful crew who puts this together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director. On behalf of all of them and myself, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Does Hagrid come from a cow too? The boy cow or the girl cow?